I'd like us to start off with a word of prayer. So let's bow our heads. And hear these words from Thomas O'Loughlin. Lord, we thank you that every once in a while you send us people like Jesus who shock us by showing us that we have been hiding behind the identity of the group we belong to. They remind us of people who don't belong to our group, whom you have blessed, a humble widow who was visited by a great prophet, the leader of a different religious group whom you healed miraculously while we were left with our diseases. It is a painful lesson, especially when it comes from someone within our own household, and we exclaim, "This is Joseph's son. Surely, what right has he to be teaching us?" But it is a moment of grace. We realize that we must stop looking down on people or of other ethnic groups of lesser education than ourselves. We must join members of other churches, religions, and faiths, and unbelievers too, in asking for your mercy and forgiveness. Lord, you know that our first response is to become enraged with those who tell us these home truths, spring to our feet, hustle them out of our town, take them up to the brow of the hill our church is built on, intending to throw them down the cliff. We thank you that the Jesus you sent us slipped out of our grasp and walked away, leaving us to ponder on the truth, experience that the Bible was being fulfilled even as we listened. We eventually found life from the gracious words that came from his lips. Amen. Did you hear the words of that prayer? Really, today we have a very brief gospel reading. It's Jesus talking about, it's the conclusion of all these things that Pastor Marcy and I have talked about the last couple of weeks as he was preparing his disciples to go out and to visit communities and to share with them the word of God and to help them to know what to expect, that what might happen. Some things he kind of forewarned them, that there can be persecution, there can be rejection, that there is even death that is involved in bringing words that some people don't want to hear. And then on the other hand, he also talks so that those who are out there hear the words that he says by indicating that when these disciples come and visit them, that we are to welcome them. Because as we welcome them, then we welcome Jesus. And as we welcome Jesus, then we welcome the one who sent Jesus, being God the Father. That's not always easy. As the prayer indicated, that even those in Jesus' hometown took offense at him for coming and beginning to teach them in a way that they never heard him speak before. Is this not Joseph's son? Is this not the one who we saw that was being raised as a carpenter? Who is he to tell us how we are to live? As if to say, because he's just simply one of us, how can he present things that lord it over us? Common human experience. I have to catch myself. You know, when I am out there in the community representing St. Luke's, oftentimes I'm wearing, you know, the clerics, the type of dress that pastors and priests wear as a way of being able to have people identify who I am, especially if I go into the hospitals. It's a lot easier to get around when you have that collar on. Because if I happen to go down in shorts and a t-shirt, chances are they'll be like, "Well, are you, related to the patient? Why are you here?" And there are moments that sometimes the emergencies happen and I just go as I am. But, you know, there are also times that when I'm not in that mode of being clergyman, kind of like Superman, you know. Just a minute, let me put my tab in and I'm clergyman. But there are times that I also have to remind myself that even when that collar is not in, and even if I'm off as being your pastor in the sense of this is my day off, I need some time to myself, I still am a representative of Christ, just as you are as well. Oftentimes, I think we You know, in our daily living, we tend to forget that there are times that we are challenged and that we need to be mindful of who we are, who we represent. And I think that's why sometimes there are those who are outside the church as they look in, they say, I don't want to be a part of that because they're not very welcoming. I don't want to be a part of that because I just see them as all a bunch of hypocrites. They pray and they sing on Sunday, and then they go out and they flip the bird to those who cut them off and on the highway, or they say angry things to others, or they're shaking their fists at someone, or just ignoring them. You know, we're people. And there's just no way of being able to get around that. So we're all going to have our bad days, and we're all going to have those times that we forget. But it should be a lot less than the way that sometimes we present ourselves. I'm not addressing St. Luke specifically, so please don't feel that I'm shutting people down. It's just it's the attitude of who we are as Christians throughout the world. And it's so easy. It's easy to just kind of let it slide, because the moment that we hear those words, because let's see, what time is it now? Well, it's 10 o'clock. So you're figuring in about a half an hour, maybe 40 minutes if Pastor Dave preaches a little longer than usual. You're thinking about, well, what am I going to have for brunch? Or we're going to go meet some friends. Or we're going to do this or that. And that's normal. Our attention kind of wavers. But what happens at the moment that, you know, Jonathan or the assisting minister says, go in peace, serve the Lord. Everybody says, ah, thanks be to God, and out the door we go. Some of us will bolt off to the side, or sometimes we'll just, you know, we just need to go, so we'll leave during the hymn, and that's okay. Again, it's fine. But where's your mind when you go out the door? Is it on what we just experienced here? Is it something that perhaps was said, or something that you actually took part in the sense of coming to receive communion? Was there something there that caught your attention that helped you to understand that Christ is with you? And so that when I walk out that door, that I know that I am a representative of Jesus. There's a story of a Roman priest who's kind of taking a walking tour of his parish. He's walking out, and he finds a peasant sitting or kneeling at the side of the road, and he's praying. And as he gazes upon the peasant, he says, God must be really pleased with what you're doing. And the peasant, as he finishes his prayer, looks up and smiles. He says, yes, he's very fond of me. Think about that for a minute. Do you believe that God is fond of you? You should. After all, we've come here today knowing, you know, you didn't have to pay an admission price to come in here. You didn't come in to be entertained. You came in because you are seeking something, or you desire something in the sense of wanting to find guidance, wanting to hear the word of God, and being reminded of the forgiveness that he has given to all his people, and the fact that every single one of us is loved. And that when you come in that door, whether an usher or a pastor or somebody that you don't even know says, welcome, even if you don't hear that, God is saying to you, welcome. And that when you leave this place, just as that peasant can say, yes, God is very fond of me, we can also respond in saying that I am the one that Jesus loved. Now, you know the story of how, you know, Jesus and the Gospel of John talks about the one whom Jesus loved. Well, you know what? You also are the one whom Jesus loved. And if you think about that, as you hold on to that and understand that indeed this God who loved us so much gave us Jesus, that he died for us, he rose again, And he says, I give you all these things in order for you to live fully, to take off and be able to shake from your head and from your whole sense of identity the fact that you are not worthy, the fact that there are so many things out there that I have to do, but that we can be able to simply understand that when I walk out this door, I am the one that Jesus loved. Every one of us could say that. And if we hold on to that, then it becomes obvious who we are and how we are to be with the rest of the world. That when we welcome in the name of Christ. And whether you have visitors that are longtime friends at your home, or whether we have somebody that comes in and speaks to a certain matter or something that's going on, when Jesus speaks about welcoming a prophet and receiving a prophet's reward, he's not talking about, you know, you're going to have $100 coming to you by mail. He's not talking about getting something out of this in the sense of some physical means of sustenance or whatever. What he is saying to you is that by having that prophet in your presence, you are going to be blessed by the words in which that prophet speaks to you. And then he also talks about little ones or disciples. And what he means by that, we're not exactly sure, but there are those who believe that what Jesus speaks of in little ones is not just talking about children, but talking about newly converted disciples. That even the newest in the church will present a reward to those who are willing to listen. You too will hear those wonderful words that God loves you. That's what this is all about. So when you welcome someone, even though you might not be actually thinking of it, you are welcoming them in the name of God's love. When you smile and say hello to someone who you don't even know, for that person, maybe it just catches them by surprise. It's interesting because of one who is in this call, this occupation as a pastor, that when I am in my my clergy clothes, being clergyman, that there are people have different reactions to you. There are those, when I walk down the hall of the hospital, they look the other way. Now, if it's in the lobby or whatever, I probably am a little, you know, I don't tend to be a quiet guy. Judy actually yells at me because sometimes if the phone rings and I'm talking, she says, you don't have to shout. So I might just say, hi. And I think it catches a lot of people by surprise, so they actually do look at me and may have a surprised look on their face, may not say anything else, but they go. And then there are those people who return that greeting, and there's a connection there, and there's a sense of, yes, you know, we're all here for a specific reason. It may be that I just said hello to a staff member of the hospital, or it may be a family member, or if I'm up on the floors, it may be even a patient who is walking, getting up, trying to get his or her energy back and able to get home. So they're walking the halls with a nurse next to them as they hold on to that pole with the, you know, IV and whatever else. And there's this sense of, hello, I understand why you're here. By saying welcome, by being open, being hospitable, we welcome others into this hospitality of Jesus. And it even works not just with Christians. As we prayed for even those who were non-believers. And they are also ones who can find that there's something unique about someone who would take the time to wish them well. Now, it doesn't seem like much, does it? But when we ask that of ourselves every day, it can be a little tiring, especially when we don't feel like it. And those are the moments that we need to remind ourselves, come back and say, I am the one whom Jesus loves. That's why we keep coming back every Sunday, every day that there's an opportunity to worship, that our spiritual batteries can be re-energized, and that we are fed once again by word and sacrament, and that we are reminded of the gift that God gives to us, even when we cannot say yes to God, when our parents have presented us for baptism and God has extended our hands as little children. It's said that Luther's schoolmaster would take his hat off as a means of respect whenever his students entered his classroom. And when asked why he did that, he said, "Because I don't know whether I am teaching future mayors, future leaders, doctors." You know, when we have these little ones that come forward and we talk to them and we share with them these short little messages, what is it that they will become? Perhaps they will be future pastors. Perhaps they will be future Sunday school teachers or faith formation directors. Perhaps they will be people who will have Christ within their hearts, sharing that in whatever it is that God calls them to do. I'll close with one more story, and it happens to be a Russian woman who was a member of the Church of the Brethren, found a wounded German soldier during World War II and took him in and nursed him back to health. Now, even though they were arch enemies, she took care of this man. And when it came time that he was healthy, she found a way for him to go back home instead of sending him back to the lines. And he went home, and after the war, he found his way into the United States. And he found prosperity. And he found that when he got to be old, he had so much money, he didn't know what to do. So he went to a Church of the Brethren and addressed the pastor and says, "I have been blessed by God. And I know I will never be able to find who this woman was that took care of me. But I'm wondering what you as a church would do with $2 million. Of course, the pastor's taken back a little bit. And they begin to meet as their governing body, and they talk about it. And there could be monies for Habitat. There could be monies for social outreach. There could be monies used for sharing and caring for other people who are less advantaged. And they presented him with all these things, and he says, "I want you to have this." Didn't know them, didn't attend the church. But because of that single moment of hospitality, this man, in response, was hospitable to those in whom he encountered. It's amazing how that works. So as we leave today, and as we go out and we enjoy the celebration of the freedom that we have in this country, we celebrate its independence. When you're wherever you are, whatever you do, whether you're at home, whether you're going camping, whether you're traveling, may you go knowing that I am the one that Jesus loved, that you are the one that Jesus loved. And may you, in your encounters with visitors and strangers, reflect that. And also know that when you encounter those strangers, that you never know that it could be a prophet or a disciple or an angel that you are entertaining and that you are being blessed, and that is your reward. God bless you all. Amen.